Always on the cutting edge. Voice of the Cab Drive Time, welcome back to the show. 072-238-0712 is the WhatsApp line. Query and comment. The National Prosecuting Authority has been criticized for its decision to not prosecute two former apartheid police security branch members, Seth Sons and Neville Els, who tortured many political detainees during the 1970s, allegedly including Ahmed Tamol as well. The Foundation for Human Rights is accusing the NPA of being complicit in apartheid crimes. Online is Foundation for Human Rights Executive Director Yasmin Sukkar. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. And just a correction, I'm the former director of the Foundation for Human Rights.
Former director. All right, I'll pencil that one in there. Let's have a look at the scenario of apartheid policemen, 2020, still walking free from their alleged crimes. I use the word alleged very guardedly here. What do we make of this, and how do we understand the NPA's reluctance since, in fact, the TRC, to pursue apartheid policemen who tortured detainees?
Well, maybe to just give you some background details, in 1998, the TRC handed its first set of reports over to President Mandela. And at the same time, they also handed over a list of 300 cases to the then head of the National Directorate of Public Prosecutions, Mr. Bulelani Nuka, with the idea that these were cases that the NPA would have to investigate with a view to prosecutions. And in the period of 2003, the commission then handed over their final report to President Mbeki. And thereafter, the foundation began engaging with Mr. I think at that point, the PCLU, to really look at what could be done around prosecutions. And since, I think, 2005, right up until 2009, what there was an interchange between the NPA and the state around this question of prosecutions, with really very little success. And so finally, in 2018, we met with the then head of the National Directorate of Public Prosecutions, and we handed over a list of, I think, 33 cases, which we said we believed could be cases that could be taken forward. And amongst them was, of course, the Simelane case, which involves the case of Nokutula Simelane, who was the subject of an enforced disappearance, the Timor case, the Craddock 4, Pepco, and many, many others. So where we stand at the moment is that you've had the reopened inquest into the Timor matter, and that inquest, in fact, recommended that charges be brought against João Rodrigues. But it also mentioned that the two policemen who had testified in the reopened inquest, Seth Sons and Neville Els, should be indicted for perjury because the judge said that it was very clear that they were trying to mislead the court. And what then happened, of course, was that 2 years passed, really almost 2 years, before we received a letter this year which indicated that they had decided, the NPA, not to indict these two on what we called really spurious grounds. Firstly, they raised the question of his age, and then secondly, they were going all over the place around whether or not they had been properly warned when they appeared at the inquest, and they were. And thirdly, they raised the question of the torture and assault claims, which the five additional witnesses in the Timor inquest had said the two of them had been part of their torture. And so what we've pointed out in a letter to the NPA is, in fact, if you go through our Supreme Court decisions, the court is very clear around the age factor. Age doesn't matter except in mitigation of sentence. Secondly, nowhere did the judge suggest that they should have been investigated or indicted for torture. And so we don't know where they came with that question that these cases are too old. And then the third thing was really around whether or not they'd been properly sworn in. And we refuted that as well. But I think we go on to make the point that when you listen to many of the witnesses who came before the Timor inquest, all of them name these two guys. In fact, Sons is named as being one of the master torturers who in fact enjoyed quite a high rank, and he had his own specific group of security branch officers who were black officers who reported to him directly. And in the case of Neville Else, even Salim Isop, who was one of the people tortured, remembers that Else was there on the night that he was tortured. And in fact, in an affidavit of another detainee detained at the same time as Ahmed Timor, he remembers that Else was there when the helicopter form of torture was being used on him. So, you know, what we are pointing out is that in the years since the transition, besides Eugene de Kock and Magnus Malan, you have not had any apartheid perpetrator prosecuted for any of the apartheid crimes. And it's important to remember that apartheid was a crime against humanity. The people who came to the TRC mainly were the foot soldiers. You never really had the politicians or those who enjoyed military command coming forward and making full disclosure about the crimes they were involved in, including in the case of the Cradock Four. And in fact, if you look at the case of the Cradock Four, that takes you right up to the State Security Council. And in fact, we have four people who were alive at the time who were present at the State Security Council when the signal was given that they should be permanently removed. And so we're saying to the NPA, you're part of a transformed South Africa. It's important that you uphold these values of justice and accountability. And in fact, torture is probably one of the worst crimes. In fact, under international law, torture is regarded as one of the grave crimes. And so there's an obligation on our state to investigate and to prosecute. And you, as a functionary of the state, ought to be upholding that obligation. And so we find it deeply disappointing that, in fact, you have chosen, really on grounds that we cannot accept, not to indict these two men. In fact, what you should be doing is going back to the records, and you should, in fact, investigate them properly. So we have made representations through the lawyers acting for the family to ask the NDPP to reconsider her decision. But this is an example of just one case. In fact, we are sitting with more than 300 cases, 33 of which we believe can be proceeded with almost immediately. And so the question all South Africans should ask is, why is there this reluctance to really deal with these cases?
Yeah, I mean, final question. I've been scratching my head on this for a very long time, because the only conclusion I can come to, and this is editorializing, that the NPA is sloppy, lazy, and doesn't have an institutional memory.
The challenge, of course, is that I think all of us were incredibly excited last year, and in fact, many of us had supported the appointment of Shamila Batoyi as the new head of the National Directorate of Public Prosecutions. And last year in October, we had a workshop with her in which she brought her whole team. And there was a real sense of commitment that these cases would be dealt with. And in fact, more recently in a meeting with civil society, to be fair, she has indicated that these cases remain a priority for her. But if they remain a priority, then the work shouldn't be done by us as the victims. In fact, that is what we are currently doing. We have our own investigator. We have our own team of lawyers. And whatever information they need, we are making available to them. And so if they're going to come to the party, they need to ensure that the prosecutors who have been given these cases, together with the Hawk, should do a proper job of investigating them. Resources have to be made available to make sure that they actually happen. And to date, this has not happened. Give you another example. In the Cradock case, for instance, they lost the docket more than 2 years ago. It's our investigators who have reconstructed those dockets and, in fact, have made it available to them with all the little bits of information that we have gathered through the course of our own investigations. So, in fact, the onus of dealing with these cases has become the problem of the families of victims. And to be frank, if the Foundation for Human Rights had not supported these initiatives, then I can assure you that nothing would be done. And so that's another, you know, right now we are sitting, I think, with two inquests which are about to be reopened. You know, the Hafiji case in KwaZulu-Natal. We've got the Imam Harun case in Cape Town. We've got the Timor matter, which is to get back into court. And we have the Simelane case and the Agus case. Every time an advocate sits in court in the reopened inquest, it costs a lot of money. The state is actually paying for the legal costs of the perpetrators, but they are not paying for the cost of the family. That is money that we have been fundraising from many donor organizations who support this kind of independent work. And so the scales of equality have not worked in the way in which our state and the NPA have in fact dealt with the families of victims. And that's tragic. I would want to believe that all of them believe that the rule of law can only be built on justice and accountability.
Yasmin Suka, former Executive Director, Foundation for Human Rights, good luck, and let's hope that Sons, Els and Rodriguez do face their day in court. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.